I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. The latest production from the good folks at Western Gold Theatre is Escaped Alone, the play by Carol Churchill. It is to be directed by Catherine Brock, who joins me now to talk about the play, the production, and the company. The play is a fresh Churchill script written by her in her late 70s, meant to be played by four women in their senior years. These are four ordinary women dealing with disruptions and shifts to their comfortable routine. It asks big questions like, what are we doing to our land? What have we left our children? How do we move forward? I'll ask Catherine to reflect on some of these themes and more. There are 18 performances of Escaped Alone at the PAL Studio Theatre, the 1st to the 17th of November. Visit alone.bpt.me for tickets. The play stars Eileen Barrett, Tanya Dixon Warren, Jen Griffin, and Anna Hagen. Ms. Hagen is the former artistic director of Western Gold, and Ms. Dixon Warren is its new one, this production being the first with her at the helm of this company founded by Joy Coghill. Catherine Brock is associate professor in the theater department at the University of Regina. She is a graduate of the University of British Columbia and the University of Alberta. She has acted in and directed productions across the country and has appeared in film and television, including Corner Gas, Little Mosque on the Prairie, and many other credits. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Catherine Brock. Professor Brock, good morning.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm very, very happy to. Yes, thanks for having me.
So I was going to say that, I was going to ask you, pardon me, that was this the first time that you've worked with Western Gold, is it?
It is the first time I've worked with Western Gold, but I have quite a long history with Tanya Dixon Warren, who is the incoming artistic director. So I went to UBC Theatre School
right.
with Tanya many, many moons ago. So we've worked together in various capacities over the years.
Yeah, and I was looking at beyond your time at UBC, you have maintained a connection with this part of the world, working with Access, the Arts Club, and BARD, right?
That's right. Yes.
What?
Pardon me.
Pardon me.
No, I was just going to say, I was one of several of the early originators of BARD on the Beach. It's gone on to be something quite beyond what I think I could have imagined since then, which is fantastic. I worked with Axis Theatre in, I think it was 2012, 2013, as an artistic associate, which was really exciting. And very happy to be back here working with Western Gold. I think their mandate and their, their raison d'etre is really great, to support aging theater, or sorry, I shouldn't say that, mature theater
artists. Right.
This
play just seems perfect for them, doesn't it? Because it's by Carol Churchill. This is a recent play of hers.
Yeah.
And would you tell us, Catherine, about what is the world in which these women, where they find themselves when we first meet them, say, in the play?
Well, that's a really big question, but I'll try to make it as simple as possible. It's a wonderful play. The premise of it really boils down to looking at several layered issues through the lives of four women who are in an English country garden. And we're introduced to those women through kind of an every woman character named Mrs. J. And she brings us into the garden, and we have this hyper-realistic series of scenes in the garden where we learn about the women and their relationships and all their personal catastrophes, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's set against these kind of epic, absurd, mythic monologues that Mrs. J has, Mrs. Jarrett has, who brings us into the garden, about the world and what has happened to the world. So she really is kind of looking at these two worlds in, well, actually many worlds in a kind of stylistic way. We were just marveling downstairs in rehearsal at what an amazing writer she is and how she layers in all of these themes and ideas. But really, it's four women in a garden and talking about their lives. And they're at the end of their lives, sort of in their 70s, sort of the golden years. And we hear their stories.
And the questions that they contend with, I mean, they're questions that all of us, I guess, are contending with nowadays because we think that the world is about to end.
Right. Yes. And the play sort of is a past tense look at what has happened to the world set against these present moments with the four women in the garden. And we get these very small worlds, personal worlds, a very domestic, really, scenes of these women set against sort of epic catastrophe that has happened to the world. You know, man-made catastrophes and how we've affected nature to our own end. And, many, many questions around climate change and, you know, what we're doing to the earth, she sets against. Yeah. This domestic scene of these, you know, four women, which is kind of a feminist statement, just to have these four women at the end of the world,
yeah,
in and of themselves on stage as the sort of remaining survivors of the apocalypse.
Yeah. So, it's awfully timely, this piece, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. And it's been very, very exciting to work on because she's such an amazing writer. She's experimenting with language in a very economical way. So she boils down, words and sentences and phrases to their essential elements, and even in doing that, manages to have a whole depth of subtext and meaning to the conversation. It's really amazing. And then these sort of absurd, epic monologues that the other character has about the state of the world. And the juxtaposition of that is very, very moving, really, and it's also quite funny. The play is very, very funny. So she uses humor to great effect, you know, really black humor in it, and
that's the other thing that I've been just delighted to read about as I was preparing for our chat, because I'm not familiar with Churchill's work. Just how she's been able to do that, to be witty and yet serious and think about the important subjects of our time through her work throughout her career, right?
She has. And she's also really experimented with language. She was one of the forerunners of using sort of overlapping dialogue in plays. And she seems to, throughout her life, really experiment with the use of language on the page and how it, the expression of it. She's also really great at incorporating, you know, really major themes in a seemingly simple way. Like, we've discovered a lot of correlations or relationships between one of the characters' monologues and the Book of Revelations and the Book of Job, and, you know, how she manages to knit in these thematics very deftly and without a lot of obviousness, and she's just a brilliant writer. I think she's been compared to, you know, Beckett in a lot of ways, in the sense that she is so economical with her writing and just manages to crack open these entire worlds with really an economical style of writing, and yet opposite to Beckett in that she gives the actors and the directors a great deal of room to play with their discovery of the text. She's not very prescriptive in, you know, what the set design looks like or what it's, you know, she doesn't provide a lot of punctuation in the scenes. So when she does provide punctuation, you really take note of it. So there's a whole experimental range in her work from the early days of, you know, Cloud Nine and the use of historical figures in plays all through to today. And she's very prolific. She has such a huge body of work.
So what's it like for you to get the script and sort of fill it all in as the director?
Well, I will say that I got the play in, I think, sometime in May or June. And, of course, I read it the first read-through. I went, wow, this is fantastic. And you have your first experience of it, and you think, oh, it's about, the apocalypse and the end of the world. And then you go back and reread it again, and you start to think, wow, there's this threat of violence in the play, and it's about personal catastrophe and epic catastrophe and global catastrophe. And then you realize that she's, you know, even in her writing, starting a scene in a very personal way that expands into the neighborhood, and then it expands into parallel universes, and then it kind of expands into infinity. Even within her writing, she has this kind of expansion and contraction of the intimate and the expansiveness of the world, and sort of what the personal and what the global is. And it just gets, sometimes in rehearsal, of course, I have to stop and think, okay, am I completely contradicting today what I said yesterday? Because there's so many ways to look at the text, and it's about finding the one that is the most concrete and letting the audience experience, you know, those questions, because she doesn't answer it. She doesn't, you know, give you a pat answer to what her feelings are about the state of the world. She really poses the question in a very powerful way, I think, at the end of the play.
Yeah. What, you give us a little bit of insight into to what rehearsal room is like with you and the cast. in terms of, I mean, are there a lot of discussion as to the themes, as to what's in the play and how you want the audience to feel even as they're watching it?
Well, I don't think we've really discussed so much about how we want the audience to feel. It's really been more about really what I've just been talking about, which is, you know, we can get very caught up, what I say, in going down the rabbit hole of these huge ideas and themes and sort of the conceptual nature of the play. And for the actors, what they really need is something concrete and practical and playable. You know, it's about the connections. It's about who am I trying to affect and who am I talking to and why am I saying this now and what is it connected to? Because some of their thoughts are related to ideas that have been expressed in the play four or five lines back. And so they have to, you know, really be listening on a number of levels. Is this a personal thought that I've hung on to in my mind for four or five lines of dialogue, and I'm responding to something that another character said, you know, three or four moments ago? Or is this a new idea that I'm injecting into the conversation? And, you know, what does it mean to be saying this in this moment? So we're sort of caught between exactly what the play is dealing with, which are these large themes and ideas, which you can't really play as an actor. You need to have something very, you know, direct and concrete to play. Yeah. And going back to what am I actually doing in this moment and who am I affecting and who am I listening to? Who am I directing? What has triggered this conversation? So it's very complex. And even, you know, when am I cutting somebody off of their speech? What is a line that actually trails off? Because there isn't a lot of punctuation in those domestic scenes in the garden. So how do you interpret that, right? She's really left lots of space for the actors to explore those ideas. So yes, there's a lot of conversation. It's not a really physically active play. You know, it's really a play of ideas and you know, sort of the intimate and the global It's been very exciting to work on, but also by about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I think we all get a bit weary of using our brains so much.
Really? Yeah. And that's the fascinating thing is you just mentioned that it's not a physical play in the sense that there's a lot of moving around, say.
No.
Yet we forget that sometimes, that the theater really is equal parts physical and mental.
Yes. And it's, you know, much of it is set in a garden over tea. These four women who come every week or every bi-weekly throughout the summer to sit in the garden and visit. And it's those conversations that sort of lead into these larger questions of life and set against these absolutely huge, dramatic, epic monologues of mythic quality that Mrs. J does. And it's very absurd. It's almost like two different plays. Like you have the language of Mrs. J in this space that is kind of not defined specifically, set against a very concrete, realistic garden. And that's been one of the kind of delightful challenges, even in the set design, is trying to put these kind of parallel worlds on stage of this sort of nowhere space of a destroyed universe or an empty universe to a very concrete garden with grass and plants and teacups and, You know, so there's some interesting design challenges that Glenn McDonald has been working on with the set, which is also really exciting and speaks to our world today and how we're handling it. And we have John Weber doing lighting design, and he's a very talented lighting designer. I'm very excited to work with both of them and kind of creating this world that has parallel worlds working at the same time in a theater space. So there isn't a lot of physical movement with the actors. There is some.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's quite contained and very, very much intellectually presented, but funny.
Yeah, I'll bet. Now, the other thing I was thinking about is you're in a room, a rehearsal room, contending with these themes. You're considering also the mandate of Western Gold, working with these four women. As a director, I mean, that must be... well, I'll ask you what that's like. Is it? I mean, it must be a dream in a way.
I feel like I've been given the biggest gift. I really do. It's, you know, I could almost cry. I'm so happy working with these women. I mean, the depth and breadth of experience and just the wealth of the minds and the creativity in the room is really exciting to me, and I am very much an organic and a collaborative director, and I'm just so happy to have such generous, smart women in the room who can help navigate this.
Yeah.
You know, you come in very, very specifically with clear ideas and clear ideas about certain things as a director, and then an actor can ask a question that cracks open a whole other series of questions. And that is what is such a gift, working with these women, because they're just smart, they're funny, they're gracious, and I couldn't be happier. They're just, I mean, and they're so well cast.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it is a dream team, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'll let you get back to work, but just before I do, how often do you teach there at the University of Regina?
Well, I pretty much every year. So that's just another thing I would like to say is that... you know, the last show I did was at the University of Regina working with students, which in and of itself is a wonderful gift and challenge because you're working with people at the beginning of their career.
Uh-huh.
And then to step into this role where you're working with people who have had such long and you know, established careers, it's a different experience, and it's one that I'm just eternally grateful for. So I turn, you know, I teach at the U of R quite often. I'm on faculty there and direct there and teach there, so this has been a real generous gift.
Yeah, I mean to take the experience that you'll have here in Vancouver and then bring that back later,
and then it
fills your year obviously in terms of your calendar, but then I mean you're bringing here the experiences you had with students previously.
It, you know, each one informs the other in a really interesting way.
I'll bet.
And, I just. Like I said, every now and then I just go home and count my blessings because you go, wow, you know, you're really lucky to be working with these people. But by the same token, I've worked a lot with students, so I have a very kind of collaborative, open way of working because I think it's really important to use those brains in the room and you know, utilize all that professionalism. So, and I get that from working with students and, you know, being a kind of collaborative leader in the classroom. So they each inform each other, I hope, in a really positive way.
Indeed. Yeah. One last thing, I was going to let you go, but I was just thinking, because of the themes in this work, Escaped Alone, it really shows just the necessity of the arts in our discourse in our lives today, especially with what's going on around the world.
I think that it can be a really fabulous way to open a conversation and to get people inspired to make change. And actually, just as we were leaving the rehearsal hall this morning or this afternoon before I came in to talk to you, Tanya was saying it would be really important to perhaps hold talkbacks after each show. And one of the designers is, you know, married to or has a partner who is with the Georgia Strait Society and very much involved in, you know, working with the ocean,
cleanup,
and et cetera, and having somebody like that come in and talk. And, I mean, there's just so much you can take away from this, you know, And it, even in the design, I'll tell you right now, even in the design of it, there's a, you know, a certain commentary on the state of the world, which is really exciting. So I hope people can be inspired to go out and make change or really look at their lives and how they're running them.
Indeed, indeed. But Brekka, like Catherine, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. Appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much. Yes, I feel the same way. Thanks very much.
Escaped Alone by Carol Churchill is at the Powell Studio Theater the 1st through the 17th of November. Visit alone.bpt.me for tickets. Catherine Brack joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.